Amen. The book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14 is where we're going to be tonight. And with the Lord's help, we pray that the Lord will help us. And here in Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus 14. And we'll begin reading in verse number 19. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 19. The Bible says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Now, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach a little while. And before Brother Ken, I'd like you to pray and ask the Lord to help us. Amen. You may be seated. And here in Exodus chapter number 14, and where we've read tonight, if you've had any time that you've spent in church or in Sunday school or anything to do with reading your Bible at home, there's probably been some time where you've heard somebody preach or teach out of this text. It's not nothing new. But there's some truths that the Lord has allowed me in my study to show light on that I've never seen before. And it's been a blessing to me. And with the help of the Lord, we want to try and preach tonight. And here in chapter number 14, we find that the children of Israel have left Egypt and they're headed out and they're headed to Canaan land. They've left Egypt, and as they're leaving and they're heading out, Pharaoh changes his mind and he says, "We're going to go get them back." And they head after them, and in chapter number 14, in verse number 3, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in." And we find here in this text that it is so to speak that they are walled in. See, the children of Israel, they come to the Red Sea is in front of them. And there's a mountaintop on one side and a mountaintop on the other. And behind them is Pharaoh's army. And we find, so to speak, they were walled in. And there'll be times in your life and in my life that it'll feel like we're walled in. And we'll try to do something and we'll go one way and it's like there's a wall. And we'll turn and we'll try to go another direction and it's like you hit a wall. And sometimes it feels like you and I in our Christian life were walled in, just like these children of Israel. They were walled in, but they were not roofed over. See, they had a landline from them to God. And when it's like that with you and I, when we feel like we're walled in, remember that we're not roofed over.
you and I will always be able to talk to our Heavenly Father. He ain't changed. He's the same. And I'm glad that in those times when it feels like I'm walled in, I ain't roofed over. And I don't know, there's many people sitting here tonight, and I don't know what's going on in your life, and I don't know what problems you may have, but you have a landline, you can talk to your Heavenly Father. And I'm glad no matter what problem it is you and I go through, we can still talk to the Lord. So we find that no matter, though they were walled in, they were not roofed over. But then in the text in which we've just read in chapter 14 and verse number 19, the Bible talks about these children of Israel. And if you go down to verse number 24, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians." Now, the Lord is standing here and He's looking through the cloud at the Egyptians. And that tells me that He was on their side. He was on the children of Israel's side because He was looking through the cloud at the Egyptians. You know what? I'm glad He's on my side. I'm glad I got a God that's on my side. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, I got up this morning and was able to talk to the Lord. He's on my side. And not only do we find that He's on my side, but in verse number 25, "And took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily." Not only is He on my side, but He's working on my behalf. The Lord took them wheels off. Man didn't do it. The Lord did. I'm glad I got a God that works on my behalf. He's working for me because I'm a child of God. And you and I as children of God, isn't it a blessing to know that we've got a God in heaven working on our behalf? And then the Bible says not only is He on my side and He's working on my behalf, but also in verse number 25, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them." I'm glad He's fighting for me. I'm glad I got a God that is alive and well. And He's fighting for me. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? No matter what this world, no matter how crazy it gets, we've got a God that's fighting for us. He ain't gonna let us stay here in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I got a God fighting on my behalf. He's fighting for you and I. He ain't gonna let nothing happen to you that He don't let it. And He don't know about. But here in this text, in which we've just read, verse number 19 on down through there, we find that the Lord did three miracles that were amazing. First of all, we find that the Lord caused this pillar of cloud to come down between the camp of Israel, the children of God, and it was between them and the Egyptians. And it gave light to the children of God, but it gave darkness to the Egyptians. And then we find not only did He do that, but we find another miracle that God performed. The Bible says that God divided the waters. He caused a wall of water to come up on one side and a wall of water to come up on the other side. That's unreal. How you could hold water. I mean, the Bible talks about it congealed. It was like jello. and a wall of water. Nothing holding it except the Word of God. God said, stand up, and that wall shot straight up. Now, we don't know how wide it was. We don't know how deep it was. But I believe, personally, and the Word of God don't say, I believe it was one of probably the most deepest parts of the Red Sea that they crossed. That's me. That's my personal thought. But no matter if it was knee-deep, as the people that criticized the Bible, if it was ankle-deep water, God drowned a whole army with ankle-deep water. But I believe that it was the most deepest part of the Red Sea. And God said, stand up here in that wall of water. And then the next miracle that God performed, God caused that wind to blow all night and made it dry ground. Dry ground. I believe it was as dry. I mean, yeah, there was a dust cloud coming out of that thing. I believe it was dry. And we find these miracles. And people today that criticize our Bible, make light of the Word of God, they always want to downplay and they always want to pick apart. It's like the virgin birth. They try to make light of the virgin birth. But if he wasn't a born of a virgin, you and I ain't got no hope. It's the same as Jonah and the whale. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Now, I can't explain that, but I believe that according to the Bible. You know, you think about this. The Bible, the Word of God, is the only book that the child of God can pick up and read. I've got many books in my library. I've got a little library. I like to try to read, to learn. But the Bible is the only book that I can pick up, and the author always present. Every time as a child of God that you pick up your Bible, the Holy Ghost of God that lives inside of us, He's there to help us, to guide us as we read our Bible. Now, I've picked up books that I've got from men and men that I've met, and they said, hey, the Lord allowed me to write a book. And they've let me have a copy, and I've bought a copy or whatever, and I've met that author. But not every time that I pick it up is the author always there. But every time you pick up your Bible, He's right there. And I'm thankful for my Bible. But you find the virgin birth, they make light of it. They make light of Jonah being swallowed by the great fish. But by being a child of God, and by faith in what I believe, though I can't explain it, I believe it. I believe that it's the blood that saves us. It ain't what we do. It ain't what we do. But here in this chapter, you find a lot of people, they downplay and criticize the crossing of the Red Sea. They try to explain it away. But by faith, we believe it. But here in these three miracles in which we just talked about, did you know that it was no problem for God to do that? Because He had already done it. It wasn't no problem for God to cause that cloud to come down and cause light to be on the children of God. Darkness on the Egyptians. It wasn't no problem for God. Wasn't no problem for God to cause that wall of water on one side, that wall of water on the other side. Wasn't no problem because He had already done it. Wasn't no problem for God to cause there to be a dry ground because He had already done it. Now, if you would, go with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. Lord help us. Genesis chapter number 1. We find that it was no problem in verse number 19 of Exodus chapter number 14. The Bible says, "And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other all the night." We find that it was no problem for God to do what He did in Exodus 14. Now, in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 4, "And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." We find that it was no problem for God to do what He did in Exodus 14, because He had done it in Genesis chapter number 1. Then, not only that, we see in verse number 6 of Genesis chapter number 1, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 21, the Bible says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." It was no problem for God to do what He did in Exodus 14, because He had done it in Genesis chapter number 1. Then, not only that, but in verse number 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 22, "And the children of Israel went to the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left." And it was dry land. It was no problem for God to do what He did in Exodus 14, because He had done it in Genesis chapter number 1. Now, for a few moments, with the help of the Lord, this is my thought I want to preach on. I want to preach on He's done it. There'll never be nothing that you go through in your life that somewhere back down the road that God has done it for somebody else. You know, there's problems that you and I, there's circumstances that you and I go through. But it's no problem for God to take care of that problem, because somewhere back down the road for somebody, He's done took care of their problem. He's the same God. He ain't changed. And I got to thinking about when it comes to being born again by the grace of God, He's done it. You know, there's people that are running through my mind right now that I think about, that the Lord's allowed me to witness to, and the Lord's allowed me to be a little light around them. And they're so vile and wicked in the ways of this world. And God help me, because I could have been the same way. But in my mind, I look at them and I say, there ain't no way that God could save them, because they've gone so far. And I see people, and there are probably people running through your mind that you're thinking about, that you've seen and that you've been able to be around, and they're so far gone, you say to yourself, there ain't no way. But did you know He's done it? I got to thinking about in my Bible, the maniac of Gadara. They said, there ain't no hope for this man. He's done went too far. But God come along. Amen. The Lord Jesus came and changed His life. So when you think about people being born again, those that are your friends, those that are your acquaintances, don't give up on them, because He's done it. They'll never be nobody until they get to the grave. I believe until they get to the grave, there's hope. If they come in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus, there's hope. He's done it. And then I got to thinking about not only when it comes to be born again in salvation, but I got to thinking about storms in our life that we go through. You know, people go through real problems. I'm not but 37 years old. I'm a young fella. And I've not probably been through what a lot of y'all have. But if He can do it for you, I know He can do it for me. And there are things that people go through. You think about Noah and the ark. The biggest storm this world's ever known. And God brought him through it. And that same God, take care of my little storms I go through. We're talking about God telling Noah, now Noah, build this ark. There's coming a flood. And Noah obeyed the Lord. The biggest storm this world's ever known. And God took care of Noah. Why you and I can't just trust the Lord, because He's done it for them back there. There'll never be nothing that somebody goes through that the Lord can't take care of your problem. He's done it. I'm glad that no matter how bad it gets, He can take care of my problem. And then I got to thinking, in the avenue of prayer, you think about prayer. That is one of the greatest assets to the child of God. It is unreal, and we make light of it, and I hate it. Oh, I hate it. But we don't take advantage of the avenue of prayer. Being able to, I'm talking about to talk to God. I mean, coming boldly. There's a man, I read of a man, his name was Sam Rayburn. Sam Rayburn, he growed up in what was called the Dust Bowl, which was Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, and up in them states there. And Sam Rayburn, he was a man of God. And Sam Rayburn, he was known as a man of prayer, could get a hold of God. And I got to reading about him. And towns out there, they would call and send telegrams and get a hold of Brother Sam. And they would ask Brother Sam to come and pray for rain. And Brother Sam, he would go to these towns and pray that the Lord would send rain. And back then, that's what they depended on, was their crops and what they tried to grow. And one particular story I read of Brother Sam Rayburn, a town got a hold of him and asked him, said, Brother Sam, would you come to our town and pray that the Lord would send rain? And Brother Sam said, sure, I'd be glad to come. And Brother Sam got in his vehicle back in old Model T. And he went to this particular town. And he got there! And he went into the drugstore. And the druggist knew everybody in the town. They were small towns, you know, 100, 150 people. Knew everybody. And he said, so you must be that preacher they called wanting to come pray for rain. He said, it ain't rained here in 9 months. What you think you're going to do? Real smart aleck, cocky. And that druggist that said that to Brother Sam said, sir, before midnight tonight, somebody's going to be slapping water out of your back. Turned off and took off to the meeting house where they were going to gather to pray for rain. And Brother Sam got there at the appointed time and he got up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I've done prayed for rain. It's headed here. Said, I believe that it'd be the perfect will of God that we sing, it is well with my soul. And they began to sing. And before they got to the chorus of the first verse, they said it rained so hard that nobody could leave the building. And finally, about 3 hours later, it broke just enough so people could dismiss. Brother Sam put his big overcoat on. He's walking down the plank pathway there in the town. And there's a man out there, and he's trying to crank that Model T. He's a-doing like that. And Brother Sam walked up and said, sir, can I help you? And it was that druggist. Now, I'm talking about prayer. He's done it! Now, why do you and I feel that God can't answer our prayer? It may not be you're praying for rain, but you may be praying for your lost loved one. You may be praying for something that God's buried in you. But the same God that answered back then. I mean, you think about Elijah. He said, it ain't going to rain till I say it is. By my word! We're talking about men that could get a hold of God. And that same God, that's my God. And we don't take advantage. He's done it. It's no problem. Amen! It ain't no problem. And then I got to thinking about God. He's done it when it comes to supplying our need. Supply, I'm talking about taking care of me. He knows what I need. He's done it. Sometimes I go through a little problem or need something. And in my mind, I'm saying, how in the world is God going to take care of that? And He's done it. It ain't no problem for God. There was this old preacher. One day he was sitting in his study. He was born in 1851. His mama was a free woman. His daddy was a slave. He was born and he was sitting at his house as a 23-year-old man, and the Lord had saved him. He got saved. God called him to preach, and he's sitting in his little study. And his wife walked in. He was a black preacher. Wife walked in, said, honey, said, we have no food in the house. Now, when my wife walks in and tells me we don't have no food, what she's saying is we don't have what we don't want to eat. See, we still got cans of beans and corn, but we just ain't got what we want to eat. But when this lady walked in and said, honey, we ain't got no food, there wasn't nothing in the house. And this man, Charles Albert Tinley's his name, he told his wife, said, honey, set the table. Set the table. She turned around and she walked into the kitchen. And she set out the bowls and the silverware and the cups. Ain't no food in the house! And she set the bowls out. And she come back and she said, honey, I've set the table. He said, gather the family together. And they came into the kitchen. Ain't no food there, Brother Ken. Nothing! And they sat down all the empty bowls and plates. Now me, I really don't know if I got this kind of faith in my God. And God, help me! God, help us to trust Him. But they gathered around that table and sat down. And He said, now we're going to pray and thank God for the food we're about to eat. There ain't no food. He said, Lord, I want to thank You for the food. Lord, we'll thank You for how good You've been to me and my family. How You've supplied our need and took care of us. Lord, we thank You for what we're about to eat. In Your name we pray, amen. And as soon as he said amen, there came a knock to the door. And the neighbors across the way said, brother, said we had so much leftovers today. We thought we'd bring it to you so you could have some of this meal. I'm talking about God supplying. He went back to his study. He wrote quite a few songs in the song book. Wrote that song, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. Wrote that song, if this world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His Word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. I'm talking about that same God. He's done it. There ain't going to never be no need that I need that my God can't take care of my need. There'll never be nothing that I go through. You think about I'm talking about God taking care of your need. In the Bible, there's so many times that God took care of the needs. I'm so thankful that my Lord, He was looking for things to help people. He just didn't walk through life when He was here on earth. He was helping people. That's my God. And you think about the feeding of the 5,000. He was helping them. He asked the disciples, let's get them something to eat. And they found 5 loaves, 2 fish. Give it to the Lord. It's amazing when you give something to the Lord how it just does something. And when you think about the feeding of the 5,000, it's amazing. Human speaking, humanly in our mind, there ain't no way that 5 loaves can feed 5,000 men plus women and children. There just ain't no way. You can't do it. And if you take human math, I don't care what mathematical equation you use, it ain't going to work. But if you take divine math, if you take God's math and put it on it, it'll work every time. See, the feeding of the 5,000, humanly it's contrary to mathematics. But with God's math, you have subtraction without diminishing. See, the Lord, He was subtracting from them loaves, but it wasn't getting no smaller. He'd tear a piece off and she'd grow. He'd tear a piece off and she'd grow. It was subtraction without diminishing. And then, not only do you see it was subtraction without diminishing, it was multiplication by means of subtraction. See, the Lord, He'd tear a piece off and give it to Peter, and it'd like turn into 5 or 6 pieces. It was amazing. He'd rip a piece off, and I mean, it'll boom, you know, it's all right there. You have subtraction without diminishing. You have multiplication by means of subtraction. Then you have addition that was caused by division. See, the Lord, He was dividing. I mean, you do that, that's a divide. He was dividing and it was adding up. It's amazing. That's my God. He's done it. There ain't no problem that you'll ever go through that God won't be able to take care of your problem. And in the end, the fractions were larger than the whole. See, they started with 5 loaves. And when they ended up with 12 baskets full. You take divine math, you take God's math, and you put it on whatever problem you got, and God take care of it. He's done it. Well, let me ask you this question. What are you going through that is troubling you? Just remember, He's done it. He's done it. I try, you know, that we go through things, and I'm not downing problems. I'm not. I please don't get me wrong. I'm not. But I'm wanting to let you know that God can take care of it. The divine weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride. Forget He seeth the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent, and the shuttle cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reasons why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that He's planned. There's going to be problems that you and I go through in our life. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be things. But you and I, with no hesitation whatsoever, we can remember He's done it. Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove
Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. He's done it. I'm glad that I've got a God like that. He ain't dead. He ain't in no grave nowhere. He's alive and well. And He's on my side. He's working on my behalf and He's fighting for me. If you need to come to this altar, you come ahead. I'm turning over Brother Ken. Whatever y'all need to do, you mind the Lord.